living what can be a brutal world. Two-thirds of the world population doesn't have enough to eat. And here we go with Christmas again. But what does Christmas have to say to someone living in this brutal world? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to be taking a look at the brutal reality of Christmas from a different perspective. And stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called The Best of 2021, and it's based on some of this year's most popular messages. I'd love to send you a free copy, just to thank you for joining me on a different perspective throughout the course of this year. Here's something that I really struggle with. Every time I have a chance to spend these few minutes with you on this program, A Different Perspective, well, I live in the relative safety and comfort of a Western democracy, and so do a good many of the people who listen to this program. But, and here's the but, by far the greatest majority of people who are listening to this program today don't. By far the greatest majority have black skin whilst I have white skin. By far the greatest majority do not know the safety or the relative luxury and wealth of the West. By far the greatest majority, in fact, by a factor of at least 10 to 1, do not have safety, security, enough food to eat, and a stable home. Millions of people in Africa are listening to this program today who have none of the things that we in the West take for granted. And here I am talking about Christmas. All my life, every year, I've received at least one Christmas present. Many of the people listening today count themselves fortunate if they can just survive another day or week or month. That's what I struggle with. So how is it that I can talk to them about Christmas? And if you are one of those millions, how is it that I can talk to you about Christmas? What is it that I dare say to you today about this time that we call Christmas? If you, like me, live in the affluent West, I hope that you understand my dilemma. And if, unlike me, you live in a place where, well, it's a much more brutal world, I wonder what you expect me to say. Today I want to share something with you that the Son of God came to your world, to the brutal world, not mine. Not some safe, comfortable, privileged place, but a place under hostile enemy occupation. A place where the Roman governor or the self-styled King Herod had the power of life and death over every ordinary citizen like you and me. A place where people lived hand to mouth. When drought struck, famines killed thousands of people. Wars arose and many were lost. This was not a silent night away in a manger or an oh come all ye faithful Christmas pantomime kind of world, but a brutal world, a dangerous world, a world where there wasn't even enough accommodation for the Son of God and his parents to find a room in the inn. Let me share that place with you. It was in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They were asking, "Where is the child who's been born the King of the Jews? Because we saw his star at its rising, and we've come to pay homage to him." When King Herod heard that, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he said to them, "Go to Bethlehem and go search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage to him as well." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they'd seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage to him. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they'd left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and fled to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. That story comes from the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. You know what strikes me about this world, this first century Judea in the Middle East, that it is so much like the brutal world that many of the people listening to me today are in. It's a world of contradictions, the very rich and powerful, the poor and powerless and oppressed. Make no mistake, first century Judea and Samaria and Galilee, the places where Jesus lived, these were part of a brutal world. And if you live in such a difficult place of the world, places where wars rage, where people die of AIDS because somehow we in the West can't find it in our hearts to provide the drugs and the food and the health care, places where life is unfair and people die young and children miss out on education, if you live in such a place, let me say this to you. I just don't know why God allows these things to happen. He gives us a free will, and part of that free will is that people hurt each other, and when that happens, people suffer. But this much I can tell you. He spared not even his son from this brutal world. He put him deliberately in the midst of it. Poor parents, born in a stable, an assassination attempt by King Herod before he was even 2 years old. He fled as a refugee into a foreign land, and then a massacre of infants in his wake. Can there be any more brutal world than this? Jesus the refugee. Jesus the poor carpenter's son. What does God have to say through Christmas to one who lives in a brutal world today? To the person who doesn't know if they're going to have enough food? To the person who's dying of AIDS or living in oppression or suffering in any number of ways? What does God have to say to you today through Christmas? Simply this. I spared not even my son from this brutal world. I loved you so much, that I gave up my one and only son for you so that whoever would place their faith in him would be saved. There's a man who told me once, who lived in Rwanda, that there couldn't possibly be a God because of what had happened to his country and his people back in 1994. How could God allow this to have happened? That same man encountered the love of Christ, and his hardened heart was softened. That same man met Jesus somewhere amidst his despair, and a few months later, he himself was killed. Today, that man is with God in heaven because of his faith in Jesus Christ. I am some days so frustrated that I cannot do anything to end the physical suffering of those who live in a brutal world, but the one thing I can do, I do for you. With all my heart, I urge you to accept this Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour. This Jesus who was born into a genocide and who ultimately was assassinated on a cross. He came for me. He came for you. Before we part ways, I just want to share something truly important with you. Each and every week, countless people around the world hear the good news of Jesus through these A Different Perspective messages. And as you can imagine, we get a lot of responses. I mean, a lot. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Best of 2021, and it's based on some of this year's most popular programs, just to kind of thank you for listening in and for your friendship, prayers, and support. This one thing is for certain. God's word is alive and active, so I'm praying that through this booklet, he'll just touch your heart with his mercy and grace, his wisdom and his love. So to request your free copy, visit christianityworks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on the offer, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is christianityworks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with A Different Perspective.